Good morning. Certainly, if the gift of gab were a spiritual gift, we would all be full of it this morning. It's good to hear your voices. And speaking of our voices, we are going to begin preparing ourselves to worship this morning with our voices joined together. So I would like you to repeat after me this wonderful, wonderful psalm. And so here we go. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Let me bless all that is within me.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And may I never forget all of God's blessings. Amen. It's a great way to start. Welcome. There are familiar faces this morning. There are faces that we have not seen in quite a while, and that brings a smile to my face and warmth to my heart. And by the gift of gab, I think it's doing the same thing for all of us too. So it is good to have you in worship this morning. And for those of you who come week by week, it is extra good to have you here again this morning also. Pew pads. At the end of each of your pews, you will find the notebook that you can sign. It is the only record that we have of your attendance at worship with us. And so please take the time to sign that. And if you need a note to the pastor, if you need a note to the congregation, if you have a prayer request, you may certainly write that on that pad. Those are taken each week, and we do look over them, and we do read them. I'm going to ask Katie and Jennifer to come. I think they have a special announcement for us. I'm going to get out of your way.
In your bulletins today and in the electronic signage, you're going to find some information about the Super Bowl Sunday. So please take it out and begin your preparations. Okay. We catch my breath here. So we, as you may suspect, we're kicking off the campaign, the Super Bowl of Caring campaign today. We got a couple of goals in mind, and we want to score on them. And we have to do this as a team, right? It's not just one person. As you know, our food closet, we have lots of stuff in there, and thanks to the Presbyterian women for keeping that well stocked. So, because of that, and because we're so blessed to have that taken care of, this year we're going to focus, we're going to take the offensive for the Pleasant Grove Food Pantry. So some of you are very familiar with that. So there's always a need to do what Christ calls us to do, to feed the hungry and to love our neighbors. So this is the way that we can do that. Our game plan this year is to score big time and set records for giving to this wonderful outreach. Here are the goals. One can of food for every member of our congregation. Do you know what that number is? It's 195. We have 195 members. We want 195 cans. It can be pull top, soup, vegetables, fruit, whatever you think would be nutritious for the players. The second part of the goal is $3,315. That is $17 per member of our congregation. Now, here's the thing. We don't expect or want just the members to participate. We'd love you to rally your teams of friends, coworkers, neighbors to participate as well. So that $17 can be something you have gone out and helped collect. So don't be shy. Go talk to that sweet lady that lives behind you. Ask for her spare change so that we can stock the Pleasant Grove food pantry with nutritious food for those who could use our help. We need to work as a team and do these good works together. We can reach the goal if we work together, and we can score big time if we have a good game plan. So you're gonna find that next week we'll start collecting, and then our final collection is on February 5th on Super Bowl Sunday. One can per member, and $17 per member. You can do this.
Please be inspired to play the game, okay? That is just too much fun. Another reason to smile. I'm a little prejudiced, but another reason to smile. On February the 5th, along with Super Bowl, you are being invited to a reception following worship as we baptize Molly Jane Holloman in worship that Sunday morning. And so bring your food, bring your money, bring your laughter, your joy, and come and worship with us. Congregational meeting. You'll find a notice that there is the meeting in there. Please let us know of your attendance. And this afternoon, some of you are familiar with, know of Lisa Wicka, now Perkins, who has done pulpit supply for us many times. Lisa is being installed as the pastor of Covenant Presbyterian Church this afternoon in Sherman, and I would love to be able, I'm part of her installation service, I would love to be able to go and to tell her that this congregation will pray for her and loves her and will keep her close to our heart as she begins this new ministry with them. If you'll take a moment to look at our prayer request, we have several in the bulletin this morning. And I also need to give you just some concrete information. With George's passing, the service was planned very quickly. And so it's one of those cases where we all need to take responsibility for letting one another know. The service is going to be tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. So with very fast turnaround. There will be visitation today from 1 to 5 at Grove Hill, and the service will be at 10 in the morning at Grove Hill. So the elders were on elder staff retreat this weekend, so they have had their hands full. Take it upon yourself to be the community of faith and pass on that information to anyone that you think might not know, either via email or by word of mouth or text. So we will keep Susan certainly in our prayers and her family. And then I learned this morning we have been praying for the Whitley's neighbor, Ginger. And Ginger has also passed away, and so we want to keep her family in our prayers. For all of those who are being affected by weather right now, it doesn't seem to matter what time of year anymore. It seems we have weather all around us. We keep those close to our hearts this morning. And I think this morning, just an extra measure of prayer for unity and peace in Christ. Because when we as human beings can't make peace ourselves, Christ can make peace for us. And so that is my prayer this morning. And as we begin worship, I invite you to turn to your bulletin and let us offer from our heart our prayers. O God, our life and
salvation, shelter us in your glory. We come with shouts of joy to worship you this day. We come with song and music to celebrate your love. We come with longing to seek your presence. Be with us now, God, as we sing your praises. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord is our light and our salvation.
Why should
we be afraid? The Lord is the stronghold of our life. Let us shout with joy to God.
Let us sing and make music for our God.
You may be seated. When we are embarrassed by how we have treated others, God invites us to seek the face of grace. When we regret foolish words that cannot be taken back, God reminds us of the hope which comes to us in every moment. Let us confess to the one who not only hears us, but answers us with forgiveness as we pray together, saying,
hear these words that should bring soothing to our troubled souls. In mercy, God has given us his Son, Jesus Christ, and in Jesus Christ, our sins have been forgiven. We are made whole. We are made new. We are made alive in the Spirit and through everlasting life. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God of love, may we see that the foolishness of your word is more powerful than the wisdom of this world, and may we lay aside our differences for the sake of that gospel. By the power of your Spirit, turn our hearts toward you and give us the wisdom to walk in your ways. Amen. The Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 through 4, the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali had been in deep darkness under the oppressive power of the Assyrians, scattered widely, causing them to lose their identity. When the power of the Assyrians were finally broken, the people of Judah and Jerusalem hoped that the northern regions would be restored to the Israelite people. This text is an expression of that hope. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish.
and the former time he brought into contempt, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian.
You.
gospel lesson this morning, we continue in the book of Matthew, the fourth chapter, verses 12 through 23. This is one of several call stories in Scripture, but one in particular to the 12 disciples. This morning we hear of the Lord's call to brothers. Let us listen for God's word. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. And he left Nazareth and he made his home in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The prophet had said that the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, the Galilee of the Gentiles, for the people there who sat in darkness, they have seen a great light, and those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and they were casting their net into the sea. They were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets, and they followed him. And as he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And they were in the boat with their father Zebedee. They were mending their nets. And Jesus called to them. And immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Young disciples, would you come and join us this morning?
Help us to be your examples in the world. In your name we pray. Amen.
A question this morning, and it can be a rhetorical question, or if you want to shout out an answer, that's perfectly fine also. The question is, when did you start following Jesus? Good. Okay, this is exactly what I expected, but I suspect that most of you would probably have the very same answer that I did, or maybe something pretty close to it, and that is that I actually don't remember a time when I wasn't following Jesus. I realize that isn't true for every person. There are those persons who have those dramatic moments, those times when something touches them so dramatically that their lives are changed forever, and that forever change in their lives means that they become a follower of Jesus Christ. They embrace that Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they go on to fish for others who can also follow Jesus. I've told you before that I grew up in a family of pastors. The church people, they were my teachers, they were my babysitters, they were my coaches, they were my nurses. From Mrs. Archer, who taught my elementary Sunday school class, to dressing up as an angel with wings in the play, sometimes being a sheep, even a shepherd. And I don't know, I was ever a wise man. That might have been too much for them. But I was Mary one time. But from those things to Wednesday night Bible study and prayer drills and summer camps, I really can't remember a time when I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. Although I did struggle in my faith, I still struggle sometimes. I still have some doubts, I still have some fears, but I've never not wanted to continue following in Christ's footsteps. And that's not the case with everyone who has crossed my path, as I'm sure it's not the case with those who have crossed yours. There are some people who feel the presence of the Lord in their lives. They even feel called, but with excuse after excuse, they sort of walk away. And unfortunately, I think in my life and perhaps in yours, that there are people who feel absolutely no connection to the love of God in Jesus Christ at all. And from what we can tell, at least from Scripture, without inserting some things, we don't know that Peter, Andrew, James, and John knew Jesus or had a relationship before they came and they met him on the edge of the sea. I suspect they had heard stories about him, but they didn't have a relationship to him. And so it appears that they had reached a point in their own personal lives where they knew something had to change. There had to be some kind of turnaround. And so they get this wonderful, simple invitation from Jesus that says, not like last week, come and see, which is still a good invitation. It's a good start. But Jesus actually sends the invitation to them, follow me. Don't just come and see, but actually follow me. And what these disciples did is amazing. We see the word immediately. They actually had, it appears, to be a conversion that was so dramatic that they let everything go. They gave up their security because fishing was not only money, it was putting food on the table for them. And they let Jesus lead them into a whole different kind of way of fishing. Barbara Brown Taylor has a comment about this passage that I like because she reminds us that even Jesus had a turning point. And you don't really ever think about that, but Jesus himself had a turning point. And this is what she says. The story of Christian discipleship and faith began simply and quietly when something stirs in the life of a young man named Jesus, leading him to believe that the time is right for him to leave home and to begin his ministry. Hearing that John had been baptized and was arrested, Jesus withdrew from Galilee. He left Nazareth and he made his home in Capernaum by the sea. Jesus' turnaround began when he made the decision to step out and to follow. Even Jesus had to take a first step. Have you ever known anyone that it appears, at least on a moment's notice, that their life changes in an instant? Have you seen those dramatic kind of changes? I think there can be those, but I have a feeling that those changes are probably a result of some of life's issues that they may have been working on for quite some time, and maybe that the direction or the change is God calling us to follow different direction. Yeah. Perhaps it is intentional. So, the brothers, like I said, they may have spent this time with Jesus. From what we can tell, they didn't have any long-term plan. They didn't have it mapped out that at this time when Jesus came by the shore that they were going to follow him and their life was going to change. They took this really big leap of faith. It is a leap that doesn't make any logical sense at all. And for me, it sort of reeks of discomfort. And honestly, I hate to say this, and I wish it weren't true, but I'm not a real big fan of discomfort. But that's how life goes. But also, in their discomfort, what these disciples found, and I think what you and I find when we step out in faith, is that those kinds of experiences can be life-changing. They can be life-enriching. They can be better than anything that we ever imagined because we are not in control. We're following. We hear God's voice. We sense that invitation from Christ. And it's not, Jesus says, that we come and we say, okay, well, so how long am I going to have to follow you now? And are you going to tell me where I'm going to go? And, oh, by the way, how much is this going to cost me in order to follow? Jesus says that by faith we step out and together we figure this thing out called discipleship. I think right now the Christian church and probably Eastminster and most other churches, we're all sort of sitting on the edge of a seashore. And I think Jesus is calling us ever more to come and to follow. I think that this story is a reminder to us that faith is not an intellectual process, that we aren't meant to be mapping out our own spiritual courses, that we're not supposed to be planning every move of our Christian life. What we are supposed to be doing is perhaps letting our lives look a little bit more like Sarah and Abram, where we pick up the tent stakes and we take off to heaven knows where. Or maybe a little more like Jesus, who says, I gotta go, don't know where I'm gonna eat, don't have any idea where I'm gonna sleep. Or maybe like James and John and Peter and Andrew, who give up a lifestyle in order to take on a calling. Rather than living out of fear of what should be or fear of what is, whether that fear is in your own personal life or whether that fear is in our corporate lives together, Jesus says the first thing you got to do is start walking. You got to take a first step, even if it is a baby one. Step out. Faithful discipleship begins with a voice that says, follow me. It's a voice that invites us, I think, to do things that we would not otherwise do in our lives because we're trusting that no matter what it is that we are doing, if we are doing the will of God, then Jesus has already cleared the path for us. That may be a little uncomfortable. And if you're kind of squirming in your seats a little bit, that's okay. Because uncomfortable doesn't always have to be part of the faith deal. Discipleship doesn't always translate into, well, I have to give up my job or I have to move somewhere else. It doesn't always translate into, well, what you're doing right now is not good enough, and so you have to do something that's more worthy and more holy. The wonderful thing and the grace about the Lord's invitation is that the Lord says right here, right now, what you're doing, I call you. Follow me just right here. And then perhaps we can start walking. But it's okay right now. Doing the work that you do day in and day out, follow me. None of us is self-made disciples. We are the beloved children of God. We are flawed, and it is Jesus who makes us disciples. If your life has been like mine, I've had many turning points in my life. There are turning points that have brought me down to my knees. Some of them have been turnarounds that I had hoped for, I'd prayed about. Some of them just come and blindside me. And generally, those are the ones that take me back to my knees. But the one good thing about returning, and there are many things about returning and turning around to God, is that we get to see each other, we get to see the world, we get to see the Lord from a different vantage point. And the greatest thing about turning to follow Jesus is that we see everything through His eyes. Every time we get a call to be a disciple, to enter into discipleship, we have the opportunity not to be these sort of puffed up, self-made disciples. We have the opportunity to be made disciples in the image of our Lord, and we have the opportunity to be who God more fully created us to be. Peter, Andrew, James, John, "I," said Jesus, "will make you." Sherry, says Jesus, "I will make you." Whatever boat, whatever lake, whatever net you have in your life right now, whatever of those I have in my life right now, what are those that I need to turn around so that I am more fully following Jesus? Like Andrew and Peter and James and John, we don't have to have it figured out. We step out and we follow. And Jesus, who is the greatest fisher of all times, is going to teach us everything that we need to know about fishing, about nets, about seashores, about boats, about lakes. And then He's going to teach us how we can leave them behind so that we can follow Him. One step at a time. Amen.
And now let us stand as we say what we believe using the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, Father,
This morning we have a bidding prayer, and I will simply offer up words for prayer and allow you in the silence of your own heart to pray whatever comes to you, and then we will respond, Lord, for our prayer. And so our hearts be stilled and our hearts be joined in prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. God, we ask that you hear our prayers now for all who are experiencing natural disasters. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. For the peace, your peace, for our country, our world, our communities of faith, and even our own hearts, Hear our prayers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And Lord, hear our prayer for those who don't even know the love of God in Jesus Christ, and perhaps who don't know the love of anyone. Hear our prayers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And Lord, hear our prayers for families, from the young to the old, for families of every kind and every creation. We ask that you make us united, even in our family of faiths. Hear our prayers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And hear our prayers now for those who hunger and who thirst physically and spiritually. Hear our prayers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And hear our prayers now, God, for those who are suffering illness, for those who are facing death, for those who have experienced the death of loved ones. Especially this morning, we ask you to send your spirit of peace and comfort upon the families of Rosemary and George and Alice and Karen, upon Ginger's family, Jamie's, for Lance, for Rosendo. This has been a week of grieving for many, God, and so in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lord, hear our prayer for your mercy and your grace and your blessing and your love upon the Turner family. Be with them, God, as they go throughout this week, that they may follow you and that they may do so in joy. But most of all, God, we ask that you hear our prayers of thanksgiving for this gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who asks us to follow and who never leads us down a wrong path. In your mercy, Lord, hear our prayers. And Lord, for the provision of your kingdom on earth, our daily sustenance, the forgiveness of our sins, the protection of us from evil, we join our voices together as we pray the prayer you have taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
We have been caught in the net of God's love and grace and called to participate in the work of making Jesus' disciples on earth. May our gifts this morning reflect our commitment to the fishers of people in the name of our Lord.
To fishermen who lived along the Sea of Galilee, stood by the shore to cast their nets into the ageless sea. Now Jesus watched them from afar, they called them each by name. It changed their lives, these simple men, they'd never be the same. Leave all things you have and come and follow me, and come and follow me. And as he walked along the shore, 'twas James and John he'd find, and these two sons of Zebedee would leave their boats behind. Their work and all they held so dear, they left beside their nets. Their names they'd heard as Jesus called, they came without regrets. Leave all things you have and come and follow me, and come and follow me. Oh, Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, beloved one, you heard Christ call to speak good news, revealing God's own Son. Susanna, Mary, Magdalene, who traveled with your Lord, you ministered to him with joy, for he is God adored. Leave all things you have and come and follow me, and come and follow me. And you good Christians, one and all, would follow Jesus' way. Come leave behind what keeps you bound to trappings of your day. And listen as he calls your name to come and follow near. For still he speaks in varied ways to those his soul will hear. Leave all things you have and come and follow me. And come and follow.
Let us pray.
We bring our
offerings to you today, and we offer the way that we will live and all the relationships and events of our lives for you to use to share your good news. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Before the blessing, let me just say again, How good it is to see your faces. Those of you who are here all of the time, those of you who are coming back after some time away, and those of you who have not been in this sanctuary before. It warms our hearts to have you here. The blessing we are going to do together this morning, and so I invite you to turn to one another and to repeat after me. Okay. The living Lord is with you.
The living Lord is with you.
Behind you, encouraging you.
Behind you.
Beside you, befriending you.
Beside you, befriending you.
Above you, watching over you. Within you, giving you the gifts of faith, hope, and love. The Lord is beneath you, holding you tightly. And the Lord is before you, showing you the way. Amen.